Well, that took a while. Let me grab one more beer.
We're 10 minutes behind. 10 minutes equals one beer for producer Chris. Grab me one, too. Okay. We're ready to start now.
All right. Remind you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Go.
Bonus episode number 7, are we on?
No.
Possibly?
Talk more than that.
Well, I don't call it the crossover episodes. Those aren't bonus episodes per se.
I thought it was 6, but I don't have an official count.
All right. Well, either way, here we go.
Are you a boner guy?
Anyone can have bad breath, Marge, but you could knock a buzzard off a shit wagon. Remember
that? Oh, boy. Carl's in a mood.
I've never listened to Who Are These Podcasts, and I never will. Ba-da-ba-ba. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ba-da-ba-ba. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Podcasts are the best, except for when they're not. Come to think there's really just a handful that don't suck. That's where we come in. Podcast reviews by Carl Nova, Commander, and Crozier. WATP. 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 Who are these podcasts? WATP. Who likes these podcasts? Not WATP.
Oh, it doesn't have the applause at the end. W-A-T-P.
W-A-T-P.
Still figuring out the new equipment here. Got the new soundboard. I'm just putting shit on it. Not testing it ahead of time. Winging it. It's a bonus episode.
Yeah.
We wing it on the bonus episodes. Croge, thanks for coming over tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Feels like you were just here. We were talking about Politipod.
Yeah.
Politipod. Starring Tom Myers, comedian, Tom Myers.
And what a pod that was.
That was fantastic. And it led us down the rabbit hole that is Tom Myers comedy.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we learned anything from reviewing his show, it's that he has a really good sense of humor about things.
Yes. He doesn't take himself too seriously, yeah. Which is nice.
Yeah.
And he writes really good jokes.
Mm.
Croge, we listened to Make America Innate Again.
Did we ever?
Which is his new CD. Or his newest CD. I think he recorded it in 2018.
Yeah.
And he promotes it, and he wants to sell it to you. You can buy it off of his website, or you can just listen to it on YouTube.
Well, yeah,
the entire thing for free, which is what we did.
And I know you brought this up already. What do you think he thinks innate means?
Yeah, what does he think innate means?
I was trying to figure that out. Like, was he going for inert or, like, you know what I mean? Like, he was going for dumb or something, but that's... Innate means like in, you know, inbred knowledge or whatever. It's,
right.
It's a totally different. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Doesn't make any sense. It just rhymes with great.
Yeah.
But not even in a good way because it's not the same number of syllables.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really bad all around. But I want to tell you, Croge, I don't know if you know this. He had a different title for this album before it became Make America Innate Again.
Is that so?
Yeah. He was on ABC2 on the midday news.
What?
In Baltimore.
He was arrested for something?
Doing an interview.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, like these local news programs, they have to do the 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. They have to do the noon, the midday, the 5 o'clock, the 6 o'clock, yeah, the 11 o'clock. There's
14 hours a day to fill.
14 hours a day of local news to fill. So the midday show needs a lot to fill it up.
Oh,
so they had Tom Myers on to promote this album, and this is an interesting piece of information.
Actually, the original title of that CD was supposed to be Sit Down and Shut Up, You Morons.
Yeah.
But people thought that was a
little
much.
Aggressive. Yeah.
Telling someone to sit down is a bit too strong.
That poor news anchor. Yeah. She didn't know how to respond to that. She goes, oh, yeah, well, okay.
like 10 years ago, David Cross already had an album called Shut Up, You Fucking Baby. I mean, this has already been done.
Sit down and shut up, you morons.
What the fuck?
The fact that this guy would call anyone a moron is insane. Crows, let's get into it.
Yes.
I know you got a bunch of clips. I have a bunch of clips. You have one that sums up his stand-up comedy
I
for you?
I do, and it's his opening bit, number one, the first joke.
A lot of comedians, they have an expression whenever they do well, they say, oh, I killed it, man. I killed the room. I killed it. I think with the number of people in this room and the amount of time I'm able to do tonight, I think I may have time to individually strangle every single person in this room.
Bro, if that's the laugh your opening joke gets, thank you. Good night. Thanks for coming out. It's been you've been a great audience.
Yeah, totally downhill from there.
Right back behind the curtain this guy should have been, because that was fucking brutal.
People were being polite, though.
And what kind of joke is that? Like, of all the jokes about jokes and comedy about comedy, like, hey, they say you kill, I'm going to kill everybody. Like, get it? Because kill means get it? Isn't that great?
I think that what I have to address right off the bat here, it's very important.
Yeah.
He has a joke that he's famous for.
Really?
On the internet.
Really?
It's not in the Make America Innate Again. It's from an earlier special. I checked him out on this thing called the Ed Schrader Show. Do you watch this video?
You liked him before he was cool is what you're telling
no,
me?
No, I am just getting hip to this shit now. Somebody posted in our Discord. By the way, on our Discord, we now have a Tom Myers channel.
Oh, great.
I know.
I can't wait to get in there.
Which That's I'm very excited great. About. And somebody posted a video, I think it was from like 2009 or something. He was on a show called The Ed Schrader Show. And he gets up and he does his style of stand-up comedy.
Mm.
And it starts with this bit, which he is now famous for. If you go to any video on YouTube featuring Tom Myers, there will be about 8 or 9 comments that feature this bit.
Yeah, I'm in kind of a weird mood myself. I was on my way down here. I stopped at a convenience store. I'm waiting in line to pay, and the guy in front of me puts down 12 donuts, 2 big bags of Doritos, one of those cheapo 1-gallon bottles of the generic brand fruit punch, and a nasty, old, rotting banana. And he turns to the clerk and says to him, "My girlfriend just had an operation. She can only eat certain things." I look at him, and I go, "Yeah, right. What, did she have a bong hit transplant?"
So this is what sums up this guy's comedy.
Holy fuck.
The bong hit transplant bit sums up his comedy.
And that reaction just nails it. I mean, that's holy shit.
This was his first joke on this TV show. Yeah. And I have isolated just the punchline and the reaction. Because the buildup of, at first, it's utter silence. Like, wait, what did he say? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Nobody knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And then as they realize that was the punchline, and they start to piece together how stupid he is, you hear people start to go like, whoa, holy shit. Like they're witnessing something that will live on in infamy.
What, did she have a bong hit transplant?
Whoa.
If that ever happens to you, you get that reaction from your opening joke, it's time to quit comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get back to Make America Innate Again. He covers a lot of different topics.
Boy, does he
ever.
This
is about a 36-minute long stand-up special.
Yeah. And if I was going to give him credit for anything,
yep,
it's that he keeps it moving.
He does.
He keeps it moving.
He plows through.
The end of the, you know.
Do you have another joke that you wanted to highlight?
You know, I do. And this was the reason I want to play this one is because it's like you can see this joke coming, but like on a tricycle with like one busted wheel, and it just takes forever to get to your number two.
One piece of advice I give for comedians, if you get the chance to perform at senior citizen centers and old folks' homes, do it. Please do it. I mean, it's a great experience. You can fart on stage and no one will suspect it's you. And if you forget your jokes, you can go ahead and do the same ones again and they won't know the difference.
A fucking Alzheimer's joke. Like, dude, you're selling a CD and you've got a fart joke followed by an Alzheimer's joke. I mean, that's, you know, middle schoolers are like, dude, you got to bring it up a notch here. Yeah. What the fuck? What are we doing here?
Yeah. It is funny how many jokes he has that are either dick jokes or fart jokes. What I really like, though, is when he starts doing impressions.
Oh, yeah. He has some great impressions.
He has some really good impressions. And what should we start with? Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes, let's do it.
Yeah. So the setup here is I need a new GPS voice. You know, the GPS voice that I have is just not cutting it for me. I travel a lot. So I need Samuel L. Jackson. It's so cliche, dude. It's like an 80s command. I wonder what it would be like if Samuel L. Jackson was the GPS voice.
And I promise you that was a Facebook mom's meme like 5 years ago. This isn't even like an original thing. That's like one of those Minions jokes that your wine aunt passes around.
I bet it would sound a little something like this.
I am sick of all these motherfucking cars on this motherfucking highway. I want the Samuel L. Jackson GPS voice because my GPS is currently stuck in Paul Walker mode. I'm sick of it.
Do you hear that guy? He goes, hey-o. When you can hear each individual reaction, they're not even shouting. They're just talking, and you can hear everyone in the crowd. Someone's like, hey-o, Paul Walker.
I wanted to bring up what room this is because it's like it's not even a half-full coffee shop. I mean, it's not even Vic's open mic night.
It's not even the studio right now.
Yeah, seriously.
People sitting in the studio right now. After that, he does a George W. Bush impression.
Does he ever?
This one is pretty spot on. And this is talking about George W. Bush on cocaine.
Of course.
So you're going to hear him sniffing a line first. You go, of course. Oh, that hack, man.
Well, I mean, normally when you talk about George W. Bush, you talk about him on cocaine. That's just
fair enough. All right, let's see what he's up to.
Hey, everybody. Got a great idea. Let's fuck with the Middle East.
So, you used to be able to get away with just having a good impression and no material.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot of guys who just did the voices well, and it didn't matter what they said. People were like, oh, wow, he does those voices really well. And then it got to the point where even if you could do the voice well, you had to have material. You had to have it make it funny, like, what's the premise? Why is this unique or interesting?
Yeah.
This guy can't do the voice well and has no material.
It's unbelievable.
2018.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
And then he combines, and you know how much I love this, Carl, comedians who sing on stage.
Yeah.
Combined with the joke that takes a fucking half an hour to roll down the fucking bottle into the cup.
Oh, God.
And he does a Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder. This is the worst one of all.
And I left it in like the intro because, man, the setup to this fucking snowball of fucking piss is just awful.
You know who I really feel bad for? I really feel bad for Stevie Wonder because he can never pull off a cover of Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now, shit.
Who did not know where he was going with that?
And that's the thing, like, why would you take so long to do that? Like, dude, as soon as you said, okay, we get it. Yeah, he can't see. What?
Honestly, the joke might have been decent if he just said Stevie Wonder could never sing Amazing Grace. And you could connect it in your head and be like, oh, right, I get it. Everyone knows the lyrics.
And dude, and not to go on, but in the year of our Lord, 2018, this guy's telling Stevie Wonder's blind jokes? I mean, what the fuck?
Well,
I guess they were originally Ray Charles jokes, but he updated them for a modern audience. You know what I mean? What the fuck?
So when he's on this Ed Schrader show, we're going back to 2009, as I mentioned. Maybe it's 2008. He's talking about the election. It's an election year.
Yeah.
And at this time, we still didn't know who the Democratic nominee was going to be, whether it was going to be Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. We take you back in the Wayback Machine, Carl. Remember this?
Yeah, exciting times.
Exciting times. So he's got a joke for that, talking about who he would like out of Hillary or Obama.
Me, I'm an Obama person, but me, I kind of, part of me kind of wants Hillary Clinton to take the Oval Office. No, okay, hear me out. What's the first thing Hillary Clinton's gonna do when she gets in office? Get back at Bill for all the shit he pulled. That's why I'm gonna apply to be an intern.
Yeah,
God, dude.
What the fuck?
The fucking reaction to that. So the premise is, I want to go down on Hillary Clinton. Which, by the way, nobody wants to do that.
I don't know.
I don't know why that would be something you'd be interested in doing, but that's the premise, right? Yeah. I want to go down to Hillary Clinton. And the reaction, I just want to play this for you again. Listen to the reaction people have. They're so disgusted by this.
I'm going to apply to be an intern.
The woman goes, what? But guess what, Croce? It gets better. There's a tag. And he doesn't do this often. But sometimes he puts tags out of his jokes. And he's got a tag on this Hillary Clinton joke, which, by the way, flopped. And you might want to just not tag it. If you have a joke that nobody laughs at, people like visibly go, what?
Just
move on. Move on. What else you got?
On to the next
thing. He's got a tag for it.
I quit smoking, though, so I don't know if that'll affect my shot, but...
Yeah, all right. Carlos, let me break this down for you, because he looked confused. What he's saying is
now, that a
Bill Clinton shoved a cigar in Monica Lewinsky's
pussy.
Is
that a cigar in the vagina?
Let me bring it back to 1998.
Yeah.
All right, there was a cigar that went into a vagina.
Man.
This guy goes, I want to go down on Hillary, but I quit smoking, so I'm not sure if she'll let me.
Yeah, the leaps you got to make to even hit that. God.
And you hear people's reaction, they're just like, she's a lesbian. That's what one guy yelled out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah.
People were just like, no.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
I don't know if you want to start talking about this. In his newest special, he does talk about a lot of public figures.
Yeah.
Including another brilliant, hop across the lily pad joke with Hillary Clinton, number 20.
All right.
But of course, people are upset about the Trump presidency. They say, Hillary Clinton should have won. Hillary would have been a much better president. You know, she had the experience. She was a former first lady. She was a United States senator. She was secretary of state. She's well respected all over the world. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Ted Kaczynski was great at wrapping Christmas presents. You just didn't want him to get your name in the annual Christmas gift exchange.
And that's the joke.
I know. It
and
doesn't
that,
go any further
those
than that.
Three groans are what you get. So Hillary is the Unabomber, I guess. I mean, I was like, I put that clip and I listened to it and I'm like, I listened to it again. I'm like, well, is he? I mean, what is the.
Can I ask you a question about this?
Skill set, but trying to say like.
Yeah. Just because you're good at that doesn't mean you wouldn't use it for evil.
But like the Unabomber like maimed people. Like he blew people's shit up, dude.
But let me ask you this, and I could be wrong about this because I don't study Ted Kaczynski as much as I should.
Yeah, we all should.
Did he send bombs in the mail at Christmas time?
I don't think he discriminated. I think
did it have anything to do with Christmas?
Here's the thing about Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah.
Every day was Christmas.
Right.
For Ted Kaczynski. I mean,
I hope I'm not wrong about this, but I feel like the premise is flawed.
When you got a shack in Montana packed with explosives, like every day is a party. You know what I mean?
I feel as though his premise is flawed. He's like, it's like the Unabomber on Christmas. You're like, well, all right, now you've gone three leaps because none of this makes sense.
And he doesn't even say Unabomber.
Oh,
and
no,
the
right.
guy's been in jail for 15 years. I mean, who's even following this? Other than you and me and all these, you know, who the fuck is even following this?
Oh, it's fucking funny.
I mean, can we go through more of these public figures that he talks about?
Please.
Number 16.
Read an interview with the billionaire financier Warren Buffett. He's supposedly like the second wealthiest man in America. In this interview, he admits that he drinks 5 cans of Coca-Cola a day. 5 cans of Coca-Cola a day. That means if he ever eats an entire packet of Mentos, his head's going to skyrocket higher than his fucking net worth.
Whoa, slow down, egghead.
All right.
Now, it's Diet Coke, right?
It is Diet Coke
with
Mentos.
Okay, so it's
right.
not even...
Coca-Cola is not a thing with Mentos.
Yeah, he doesn't even have the right thing. And then because he combined Warren Buffett with Mentos with net worth, I mean, like... The fuck kind of joke is that?
Well, the worst part about that joke is it's going to fly higher than his net worth because he's trying to think of, well, he's really rich and then why would that be? Oh, this is the funny joke.
And he gets the right reaction. Just, I mean, what are these people held hostage? Is, you know, mental institution? Is this like the food court in the mall? Like, I mean, how did he fucking record this? He's in front of the Taco Bell?
I picture a Clockwork Orange where the eyes are just pulled open.
Fucking strapped into the chairs, yeah.
They've watched his act 18 times in a row. This is the 19th time. That's when he recorded it. You will obey. You will obey. You will obey. You will laugh. You will laugh. All right.
There's an amazing Bill O'Reilly reference.
Oh, okay. 17. Let's do that.
And Bill O'Reilly came out recently and said that he blames his firing from Fox on those who lean to the left. That's very fascinating. I didn't know Bill O'Reilly's penis leaned to the left. I sounded kind of camp, too, when I said that. I didn't know his penis leaned to the left. Hello?
Fucking thing sucks.
Seriously, what's he doing?
The fuck, dude? All right, man.
He blamed it on... Did he say he blamed it on people who lean to the left?
Wait, I think you're looking.
Hold on a second.
He did. Don't bother. It's awful. It's not even supposed to make sense. All right. You guys like talking about preteens masturbating? I sure do. Here's number 19.
Yeah. I have this clip too.
He has a 10-year-old son now, which means he's going to be a teenager pretty soon. That'll be an historic moment. Barron Trump will be the first teenage son of a sitting United States president to masturbate to internet porn.
That laugh says, I'm not allowed within 25 miles of an elementary school. Dude, who is like, hey, 10-year-old kid, masturbation joke? Like, no, well,
let me stop you right there, Croge. Where's the joke? What's the joke? When is the joke?
Well, the joke, Carl, is that he masturbates because he's a child. And that's what, you know, naturally you think of.
When he's a teenager, he will be the first teenager to jerk off to internet porn. There's no witty observation. There's no angle that he takes on it. Just teenagers masturbate to internet porn. And I just have to ask, what's the joke?
And he's not even a teenager yet. He prefaced the whole joke with 10-year-old kid. That's the fucking creepiest fucking part. Even if he just said kid or like what or teen or whatever. You know what I mean?
Can I point out?
What the fuck?
Can I point out?
Even I'm grossed out by that. I'm a fucking creep. I mean, what the fuck are we doing here?
You're actually my creep next week on the Creep Off.
That's what I'm saying.
The category is WTP co-hosts. Vinny's got Doug from Who's Right. I got crushed.
Oh, I'm a shoo-in.
Yeah, no shit. So that thing where he started giggling about it, like he's a predator, as you mentioned.
Yeah, like Chris Hansen's on the other line.
He does this a lot. Mm. When he doesn't get a reaction from people, he laughs at his own joke. He's heard these jokes before. It's not funny to him. It wouldn't be anyway. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
But this is him screwing up and then doing his nervous laughter. So you could tell this is just a tic that he has.
One piece of advice I give for... One piece of advice I give for comedians...
My takeaway from this is I understand the nervousness of this. I would never be able to get up in front of people and deliver this material.
Oh, my God.
I would be sweating bucket. I'd be so nervous to deliver these jokes, especially as they keep going over. They're just flops.
Yeah.
Every single one worse than the one before it. And he just keeps pushing through. Like you said, he doesn't slow down. He doesn't stop. He doesn't get a quiver in his voice. He's, you know, he's got that nervous laughter thing going.
Yeah.
But I give him credit, and actually, while I'm giving him credit, there is one joke that I thought was pretty good, and it's the only decent joke he has in the entire thing.
I dated this one girl who was into fantasy and role-playing. Yeah, she dressed up and pretended she was a Catholic schoolgirl, and I pretended that I loved her.
I could see that working into a Dave Attell act. It would be delivered a lot better.
Yeah.
It would be sandwiched with a bunch of other funny jokes. But at least he had one joke that I'm like, all right, you actually executed on something.
Yeah.
You actually threw us for a little bit of a loop. Which, by the way, every other joke is so obvious. And I want to point this out about his stand-up, just his style in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's so linear. He has no rhythm as a comedian.
Yeah.
It's very much just a... Bubba, 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 setup, setup, setup. Bubba, 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 punchline.
Yeah.
Bubba, 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 setup, setup, setup. blah, 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 punchline. And they're rarely connected. Like, you think about, like,
yeah, it's
Jim Gaffigan or something. Like, let's talk about bacon for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes it funny because you're like, holy shit, he's still talking about bacon. You know, it's funnier.
He's building something. He's giving you a whole world where all these jokes are coming from.
Right.
Where this guy just has Mad Libs, where it's like, oh, here's, you know, insert this, and then Bill Clinton, da-da-da-da-da, blowjob. Hey, isn't that great? You're like, well, okay.
So this brings me to, going back to ABC2 and the Midday News, she asks him why he started doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And he says this.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You said you started with comedy as almost a defense mechanism?
Yeah, it was in high school. I started telling jokes to upperclassmen to sort of deflect being bullied. Ah. People often ask me, you know, what's the toughest room I ever worked? I say the men's locker room at Fallston High School. The whole comic book series, Kill or Be Killed, I lived it.
Oh, my goodness.
That was her first question. Way to have fun with it, asshole.
Yeah, wow.
So tell me, funny guy, why do you do comedy? I was bullied as a child. Like, so anything else in the news? Got anything fun coming up this weekend? All right. So then after that, she says, well, you do jokes that people find offensive and you get in trouble for these jokes. Why do you keep doing them? And listen to who he compares himself to. This is fascinating. Let's jump into the mind of Tom Myers.
Yeah.
I don't know if there were pre-interview questions. I don't know if he was ready for this, but this is a shocking answer, whether it's off the cuff or he prepared for it.
Some of your jokes, though, have gotten you into a little bit of trouble.
Right.
So why keep telling them?
Because it's my job. You know, it's no different than, you know, a police officer running to the scene of a crime or a firefighter running into a burning building. It's what I do.
Jesus fucking Christ. Listen, I don't use the word hero lightly, but by me telling jokes about your sister's twat, I'm obviously a fucking hero.
Yeah. You know that guy who killed Osama bin Laden? Well, you know what I do is I talk about Barron Trump masturbating.
Yeah,
we're the same person. Can't you tell? Guess what, Crozier? It gets worse.
Oh,
he continues to explain why he continues to tell jokes people find offensive. Listen to the people he compares himself to.
Oh,
this is insane.
It's what I do. You know, Mort Saul was blacklisted by Hollywood because he kept talking about the Warren Commission report on stage. Lenny Bruce kept having obscenity trial after obscenity trial.
You son of a
George
bitch.
Carlin's,
George Carlin,
one of his bits
you.
Was taken
Are
to the United States
me?
Supreme Court.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm not really doing anything, not doing anything different.
You have to be fucking kidding me.
He's no different than Lenny Bruce and George Carlin.
Lenny Bruce and George Carlin.
This guy's so delusional.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
He's out
You're
of his mind.
You're telling fart jokes in a coffee house. George Carlin presented his arguments in front of the United States Supreme Court.
Right.
He defended the First Amendment for you and me.
Correct.
To sit here and talk like assholes.
Correct.
This guy is fucking telling little kids masturbate jokes. And he's a fool. I can't fucking take it, dude.
How funny
that
is that?
That was intense.
How funny
that
is that?
That was fucking intense.
This justifies everything that we have to say about Tom Myers. The fact that he's out there comparing himself to Lenny Bruce and George Carlin.
We haven't even begun. We were only getting started, dude. I was having fun. I was having fun until now.
I saw what it turned. I can see the look in your eye. You are no longer having fun. Nor should
way,
you be. We're listening to Tom Myers stand up.
And just
there's no fun to be had.
Like his jokes. If listen back to that, I called it as he was saying those
you
fucking
did.
Names.
You said it right before.
And I haven't heard this shit before.
You knew what he was gonna say.
Even his bullshit's as predictable as his fucking jokes.
Speaking of predictable jokes,
Jesus.
Listen to this
Christ.
Observation because I was just at the grocery store today. By the way, this is one of my pet peeves with comedians.
Yeah.
Sorry, Vinny. But the you know what I was doing today? Were ya? You do that every Thursday, Saturday, and Friday? All right.
I was grocery shopping today, and I was walking down the cereal aisle, and I saw a box of Life cereal. Someone had taken a permanent marker, and under the word Life, they'd written sucks. I was driving here.
Dude, Vic Henley called from the grave and asked for his joke back. That's a Vic Henley joke. I saw a thing that was written on another thing.
This is my biggest issue about this guy. He sees Life cereal and he thinks, what if somebody wrote sucks underneath that? Which is something that anyone would think of, probably most people. And you would just immediately go, well, that's not very funny. What I like about good comedians is they come up with jokes you never would have come up with. And you go, oh, fuck. Or musicians, you're like, oh, that's so clever. That's so well done. I never would have come up with that. This guy goes, yeah, there's a pretty shitty neighborhood that I'm in. I went to the grocery store. Somebody wrote sucks on Life cereal.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, he did sure. come up with a joke that no one I know would ever come up with.
Okay.
Here's number 14.
Okay.
But I have to get my hair cut. I have to get a cut because if I don't, it gets too long. And then I start to shed. And then whenever I clean out my shower drain, I feel like Jenny McCarthy's gynecologist.
What does he think a gynecologist does? That's a real question. Like, I want to know. Like, what do you think goes on in that room, Tom Myers? You think they pull clumps of hair out of women's vagina? Is that what you think? Is that what you think a gynecologist does?
He really is mad.
I want to know. I really want to know the answer to this question. What the fuck kind of joke is that?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, carry on. Go ahead.
So, right before that joke, he talks about getting his hair cut, and he's got a great joke for that.
I thought about getting a haircut before I came out here tonight, but I don't like getting my hair cut because I'm always worried they're going to get it cut too short. And then if I get it cut too short, you're going to look at me and be like, Ellen DeGeneres has really let herself go.
So
God, that's so bad.
It's terrible.
So fucking bad.
All right. Well, Ellen DeGeneres has short hair, but the premise is something that no one can relate to.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I was going to get my hair cut, but I was afraid it would be cut too short. You just tell the barber what length you want it to be. Is anyone going to the barber like, oh, fuck, I hope he doesn't cut my hair too short? Like, I'll have a number two on the sides. Thanks.
Wow.
What's he talking about?
Yeah.
I was afraid you guys would think I was Ellen DeGeneres. Oh, no. We would never think that. She has funny jokes. Ellen DeGeneres is actually a decent stand-up.
Yeah.
You, sir, are a hack. You wish you were fucking Ellen DeGeneres.
Compared to Tom Myers, Ellen DeGeneres is Lenny Bruce and George Carlin.
That's actually true.
That's what I've come here to say. Well, so this dude, he has no fucking clue how life works.
No.
So I want to, if it's all right, I want to bring you through a couple clips.
Yeah, let's do it.
He doesn't know how social media works at all. And we're 15 years into the social media era. Here's number 11.
Basically, taking selfies is a way of saying, I tried to find somebody, anybody, another living organism to take my picture for me. And I failed quite miserably. So here's an entire Facebook album of photos of me looking like a fucking loser.
Dude, have you ever seen a selfie before? Ever? People spend hours posing for selfies to make them look like winners. People's selfies are them on the beach and them on the trail and them on a bike ride and them with groups of friends and then at concerts. Like, people's selfies, they spend a lot of fucking time on these days and they all look like fucking parties. Like, you don't see people's selfies. You're like, boy, what a loser. He couldn't find someone to take his own picture. Like, no, that's all social media. And we're, again, a decade and a half into that. This isn't a new fucking thing.
Yeah, when people take pictures of, like, their dinner, I don't jerk off to those. Selfies, different story.
Absolutely, especially if they're young. Oh, sorry. That was my Tom Myers show. So let's talk about Instagram. Here's number 12.
All right.
Iran has barred Instagram. You can't use Instagram in Iran anymore. Good. Finally, a place I can go where people aren't posting pictures of their food.
All right. If you don't want to see pictures of people's food, you don't open Instagram. You don't have to go to a place where Instagram is barred by law. Just don't pick up your phone.
Crozier.
And your problem is solved. What Crozier. The fuck are we? Does he not know how any of this works?
Crozier, the problem here is that you're living in reality. And I think that because of that, you can't relate to his comedy stylings.
And last
that's
one.
That's the problem.
Last one. Number 13 is about Facebook statuses.
Facebook does this thing before you enter a status. They always ask you what's on your mind. How many people take that literally and write a tumor?
Shut up! That's fucking awful. Like, what? what kind of joke is that? We're again, we're 15 years into that fucking what are you what's on your mind question. What, who are these jokes for? What the fuck is going on here? It's like he's seen social media like in a movie or something. So he knows he's got to tell a story about it, but he's never actually experienced it or understand it. For
he has experienced it because him and I had a Twitter battle.
Oh,
which
boy.
Is why we're doing this right now. Fucking Tom Myers.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of a guy who his premises, I don't even understand how some of the things he says could possibly be construed as a joke, except for the fact that he's a comedian talking into a microphone.
Yeah.
I'm at that age where if I get up in the morning and the first thing I do is take a solid shit, I know it's going to be a good day.
Again, he's like 35, 36 years old.
Yeah.
And if I can wake up in the morning and take a solid shit, like, okay. How was that a joke? Because the word shit was in it?
Yeah.
What's funny about that?
I know. It's one of those, like, you should probably take that up with your doctor or maybe get a nutritionist. I mean, you can take steps to improve.
Crush. But I'm at the age where if I sleep for 7.5 hours, I feel well rested.
Whoa! Dude, that's a hell of a zinger right there.
I mean, I did take his master class online, so I'm starting to work out some of my new material that I've come up with since I did that.
Dude, if I'm in the morning, I'm drinking my cup of coffee and I don't vomit blood everywhere, I say good fucking day. See, again, you know what I'm saying?
Again, that's too funny.
Oh, damn.
See, that was actually bananas, which makes it a little bit funny. This is the most ridiculous thing that he starts off his show with. He wants to tell you a little bit about him.
A little bit about me. I'm 35 years old, and my girlfriend looks at my penis the same way a kid looks at snow, waiting to hear if school's going to be closed.
So the a little bit about me, I'm 35 years old, had nothing to do with the setup that he then went into for his next joke.
Yeah, those are very disconnected.
Gross, a little bit about me. I play guitar in an instrumental rock band, and my wife's vagina smells like goats. What kind of premise, what kind of setup is that to a joke? It doesn't make any sense. I'm 35 years old and here's my penis joke.
Yeah.
Like what? I thought the joke was going to be about your age. It had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
He'll be able to use that setup no matter what his age is. Hey, a little bit about me. I'm 12 years old and my girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
That probably wouldn't work. Actually, now I think about it. Oh, let's talk about more blowjob jokes.
Oh boy.
But I love performing in small towns, I really do. The women in small towns give the best blowjobs, owing to the fact they don't have any teeth left, so.
Yup!
Wow.
I love the audience reactions to some of these. All of these jokes are so hack and so obvious. This is like his fourth comedy album, too.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, this is like the fourth thing he's put out. He's been doing this forever. All right, let's talk about Las Vegas, because I don't know if you know this, but he's performed in Vegas before.
Is that so?
Yeah, he talks about it.
Very first time I got the opportunity to do Las Vegas, which is a big deal if you're a comedian.
All right. He says doing Las Vegas is a big deal if you're a comedian. I would argue that Las Vegas is actually just a city. Right? I've seen Jerry Seinfeld in Las Vegas. I've seen Ray Romano. I've been to Las Vegas about a dozen times.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of great comedians there.
Humble brag.
But there's also a place called Jokesters on Fremont Street.
Yeah.
Where anybody could play. Like, you could literally walk in blackout drunk.
I saw a guy perform in front of there, actually. A homeless dude.
That was Tom Myers.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
That guy was funnier than Tom Myers. I'm not even kidding with
you. So he's all proud of himself because he's actually performed in Vegas, which is a big deal if you're a stand-up. For some reason, even though it's just a city. And then he explains when he's done this.
But I do Las Vegas a lot, and they always send me there in like July and August.
Yeah, that's called the off season. That's literally the off season.
Yeah.
You're going to a tourist spot at the time when there are no tourists there.
Yeah.
So congratulations, that's a big deal for you comedians to be in Las Vegas in August.
I played a great comedy club, but they only put me on at 6 a.m.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah, great.
That's actually funny because CBGBs, when that was still around in New York City, they would have people play all day and all night.
Yeah.
And you'd be able to say like, oh yeah, my band played at CBGBs. Yeah. It was 11 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, sweet. Good for you, buddy. So he talks about the fact that his manager, because his manager is the one booking him in Las Vegas. His manager had a little sit down with him and told him some very interesting information that I think he needs to hear.
Yeah.
But my agent gave me this the other day. He said, you know, Tom, the reason you have trouble getting booked in a lot of major comedy clubs is you don't know how to write jokes for the average American. You need to learn how to write jokes that relate to the average American. And I'll be honest, I can't write jokes that relate to the average American.
Yep. All right. Well, that sums up the comedy special for me.
Yeah.
I think he nailed it with that one. All right. I want to go back real quick to the Ed Schrader show. And he starts talking about, he's a big history buff.
What?
Face. He starts talking about his favorite time in history.
When I was in school, I studied history. My favorite piece of history to study was the American Revolution. Why do I like studying the American Revolution? Well, I like it because, not because it's the laying of the foundations of democracy or how ordinary men can rise up to fight against the evils of tyranny. I like that people were able to grow an incredible amount of pot back then and get away with it. That's why I love studying the American Revolution. Yeah. All those who are really supporting me behind that are going, I'd applaud, I just don't feel like lifting my arms, dude.
I didn't do any editing to that. That's the actual reaction he got.
I want to fucking strangle this guy.
He thinks that stoners are so lazy they don't want to applaud something that they enjoy.
I've been
to fish concerts. That's just not true.
The setup to that joke was unfucking bearable.
So
after
he tells that joke and it flops, he looks back at Ed Schrader, and by the way, the host of this show, and it's like a shitty cable access show, but the host of the show has his head in his hands, and he's just like, oh my God, man. And he looks back to try to like, hey man, what's up with your audience kind of thing?
Yeah.
After that joke, stoners don't want to raise their hands up and applaud, right? Oh, he says God. This.
I'd applaud. I just don't feel like lifting my arms, dude. They don't like puns, I don't think. They don't like the pun. Okay.
Pun?
He thought that was a pun? This is a professional comedian who thought that was a pun.
Good Lord.
This guy's so stupid.
Good Lord.
I don't think he should be talking about politics.
And he prefaces it with the opening paragraph from Wikipedia page from the Revolutionary War. And
it's yes.
A joke that stoners can't applaud. All right.
So then he says that the founding fathers didn't smoke pot, and this is how he knows that.
Everyone smoked pot back then. Paul Revere would be galloping down the street like, think the British are coming, dudes. Luckily for me, I got enough. I can share. You guys have been a great crowd. That's my time. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was his closer?
That was his closer. All right.
Fuck
so
this guy.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
He starts off by saying, my favorite time in history was the Revolutionary War because back then you could grow pot and no one would stop you. But the founding fathers who fought that war didn't smoke pot. And here's how I know, because then they'd be too burned out to fight the war. Like so you shit on your own point. And shitting on your own point has brought us to nowhere.
Yeah, it's just, you got to follow him. You got to hold this guy's hand a long way to get to that. And then there's no reward. There's no candy in this guy's van. You know what I'm saying?
And then he, in his Make America Innate Again special, he brags about how many jokes he writes.
I wrote over 2,000 jokes last calendar year.
Bullshit! Chicken.
I wrote over 2,000 jokes. I don't think he's written a single joke. And besides, I don't know that that matters. Like, most comedians don't measure their worth by the number of jokes they've written. They might look at things like, I don't know, people who attend their shows or money they've made from comedy. This guy thinks he's so impressive because he's written down these quips on a piece of paper and then recited them to people who get angrier and angrier the longer he's on stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Seamus mentality. It's quantity instead of quality. It's,
correct.
I've done 5,000 podcasts. They must be good. Like, no, you've done 5,000 shitty podcasts. This guy's written 2,000 fucking awful jokes that are they barely count as coherent thoughts, let alone jokes.
When he was on Twitter explaining that I don't have a job and I can't get a woman, I haven't accomplished anything in life, he said, And I've been in 30 states, Canada, and D.C. doing comedy.
Wow.
And that's not an accomplishment if you get booed off the stage everywhere you go.
Yeah, no shit. If this is the audience you've built after a decade on the circuit, right, and you're fucking, they can't even cheer you in your own recording session? What the fuck are you doing?
The only thing he said that's true is this.
You know, Tom, there's 100,000 people listening to you right now, and they all fucking hate your guts right now. Yes, you know it's true.
Yeah, there was a few like self-aware moments there. My number 22 had a couple of those.
He's very hateable.
I get those reactions a lot whenever I perform these jokes. Nobody in the studio fucking laughed at that one.
Yeah, it's like, and then there's like number 23 goes off on one.
That's a joke, obviously. That's a joke.
If you went to a coffee house, there's an acoustic guy playing, and he ends, and he's like, hey, that's a song, guys.
That was a song.
That was a song that I just played. You'd be like, let's get the fuck out of here. And that's exactly what I think of his comedy. It's fucking atrocious.
That was just a song. I don't really think we don't need no education. Lest anybody feel it. I was being legit about that.
I feel that we're more than dust in the wind.
Sorry. He's in Las Vegas now. Let's bring it back to Vegas real quick. And
okay.
And then we'll move on from there. And you know what happens in Vegas a lot, Crows? You ever been to Vegas before?
I have.
Yeah. You know what you see there all the time? I've been there like a dozen times. Elvis impersonators.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's still the 70s and
80s. Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Elvis impersonators out in Las Vegas. And some of them are good. Some of them are really bad. There's some Elvis impersonators out there that were so bad. I'm convinced they're doing their impersonation of Elvis a few hours before his death.
And then he moved on. That's after that.
Painfully.
So didn't
unfunny.
That seem like a setup to like either an impression or a punchline? These Elvis impersonators, it's like an hour before his death, and then you'd like do something.
Yeah.
He had nothing.
Yeah.
He literally says that and then goes.
It's crazy. There's a bunch of things on here where there's a joke with no joke. There's right. No fucking joke.
There's a lot of those. There's 2,000 of them.
Yeah, 2,000 of them. Yeah, here's number 5.
Right. No, if you're anything like me, you don't want to like get out of the shower in a hotel room when they have one of those full-length mirrors, because then you notice everything starts to jiggle, and you look like one of those hospital Jell-O molds that they pulled right out of the fridge.
You look in the mirror and it jiggles, and it looks like Jell-O. Dude, throw in a Bill Cosby impression or something. Do something, man. That's not even a fucking joke. Here's number 6.
You know what? It's funny you say that, because it's almost as if he was given the premises and had to come up with a joke. He's like, guys, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
My body's jiggling. I had nothing. He's like, yeah, but you came up with the premise.
Yeah.
You didn't have to make a joke out of that if you couldn't. Oh. No one's making you.
But the very first time, I was an extra on House of Cards. I played a congressman. I was 29 years old, and it was a big deal. Little did I realize that if I was half that age, I would be Kevin Spacey's type.
I mean, what kind of joke is that?
Kevin Spacey fucks children.
And that's even a premise. You could go somewhere with that premise. But like, hey, I met him, but I wasn't 13. Otherwise, you would have fucked me. Ha ha ha. Like, no, that's not. That doesn't. Can I point out
the other part of that setup that I think is fascinating? I was an extra on House of Cards. It was a big deal.
Because he can't
stop himself from being like, look at how famous I am. Look at how well I'm doing. Like, dude, you were an extra. You live in the town where they shoot it.
Yeah.
You showed up to the set, and they're like, yeah, stand over there.
Yeah, they show the back of your head on TV for a fifth of a second on Netflix.
Why did he feel compelled to say that was a big deal?
Dude, if nothing, I'll say I was on House of Cards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't even say you were an extra.
Don't even be like, I'm an extra.
I played a congressman on House of Cards. Don't say it was a big deal. Don't say extra. We wouldn't be talking about this right now.
Oh, what the fuck? And this one is like, I mean, holy shit. Here's number 7.
Okay.
There were some people in Virginia who wanted to break away and go back with the Union. So they broke away and formed West Virginia and joined with the Union. So the good people of the state of West Virginia didn't want to be known as a bunch of backwoods, inbred, redneck racists. Oh, the fucking irony.
And that's the full setup. That's the full punchline. The his whole history lesson's in there. I guess it's really important, this fucking idiot. And the whole joke is like, hey, these people are from the South. Boy, are they stupid. Oh, it's like a fucking Vic Henley joke. Like, boy, people yes. are South. They sure are stupid. Wow, you're breaking some new fucking ground there, buddy. Holy shit.
So Vic Henley isn't as fresh in my mind
yeah.
as Tom Myers.
Yeah,
is.
He's really hung with me, Carl, as you can tell.
I almost feel like Vic Henley's a better stand-up. Is that possible? All
right. So I was saying this to Chris.
Tell me
if you agree, okay? You're going to play a CD for someone that speaks no English. They speak French or whatever.
Okay.
You're playing the Vic Henley CD, and he's got his voice rises and falls, and the crowd yes. responds, and he sounds like
a stand-up.
His material is garbage.
It's terrible.
But
he's got the right rhythm.
And he's got a confidence and a swagger, and
yes.
he's very relaxed. Tom Myers sounds like a fucking asshole.
All right, here's a fun setup here, Croge.
Yeah.
He's talking about, there's a police department that has its own Twitter account. And he explains what types of tweets are coming out from the police department's Twitter account. I'll play it for you, and then I have a very specific criticism for this.
Man shot twice in the chest on Harford Road. OMG.
All right, that would make sense. OMG. Someone was shot. Like, that's a bad thing, right?
Homicide detectives arrive on scene. Laugh out loud.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Homicide detectives arrive on scene. Laugh out loud. Why? What's funny about that?
No witnesses reported. Sad face.
All right. That one makes sense. So he's structuring this wrong. If anything, you would end with the laugh out loud gag to be like, oh, the last one doesn't even.
Yeah. But I mean, that what he's saying is how teenagers texted in 2005. That's not how anyone tweets.
That's a good point. All right. This is another premise that is so ridiculous. He's explaining, and the setup to this is, a lot of people get pregnant around Christmas time.
Sure.
Because I guess couples are trying to get pregnant around Christmas time. I haven't experienced this in my life. Maybe it's true. So his joke is that, you know, people are having so much sex that the reason why you put ornaments on a tree is to cover up the cum stains. All right, hold on. Let me just play this clip.
I have a theory. That's why they have all those Christmas tree decorations around. They're hiding all the cum stains where they went ahead and made love. The neighbors come over. I didn't know you were into train sets. Oh, I'm not. That's where we made love right there earlier. Yeah.
So that's one of the rare occasions where he actually continues with the premise.
Yeah.
And has a second joke. But what's weird about that is he goes, you know, they want to cover up the cum stain, so they put ornaments on. And then the neighbors come over, like, oh, I didn't know you had a train set. He's like, no, I'm just covering up the cum stain. Then why put out the train set if you're just going to tell people?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the whole point? Is that you're embarrassed that you're jizzing all over your house and you're trying to cover it up? Isn't that the point of the ornaments in the first place? According to his premise,
yeah,
that's the point of the ornaments in the first place. Am I overthinking this?
And this might be a weird question, but how does he make love? That there's cum stains on the tree. You know what I'm saying?
No wonder he's never knocked anyone up. Like, that's not how you get pregnant.
Yeah.
You're shooting it all over a tree.
I feel like either I'm doing things wrong or he's doing things wrong. And I got two kids, so I don't know. I'm just saying.
Why can't you both be wrong?
Well, yeah, I guess. Well, yeah.
All right.
You know, are we winding down here on this guy?
I think we can wind down, yeah.
Because I wanted to talk about his closing bit.
Me too.
His closing bit is the only time that he does an extended bit.
Okay.
And so I broke it into two clips, and they suck, but I mean, this is his extended bit. This is the one thing that he's crafted that takes you on a journey through his mind into his comedic genius, you know?
Okay.
So here's closing bit part one. Here's number 26.
Oh, yeah, I know. As soon as I get home, my cat, just like a man, is going to be sacked out on my couch in front of my TV going, hey, what's up? You know my food dish is empty? My goddamn food dish is empty? And have you seen the state of my litter box? I know you don't clean your bathroom. I know because I tried to use yours. But I'm serious. Clean out my litter box, all right? Refill my food dish. I'm going to sit here and watch television. No, I'm not changing the channel either. Well, I don't have thumbs. I can't. So. No, I'm not watching Animal Planet, you dork. I'm watching my favorite movie of all time, Old Yeller.
Now, we just got like 45 seconds of the first person voice of his cat. If you've ever been to anyone's house throughout your entire life, whether you're a little kid, you're an adult, wherever, and you go to someone's house and they have an animal, within 8 minutes, they will do their animal's voice for you. And they will say something like, hey, look at me, I need to be pet, or hey, I'm hungry, or whatever. Like, everyone does that who has a pet. And that's his one bit. His one extended bit is, here's what my cat thinks. And then he says a bunch of super fucking generic shit about being a cat.
Right.
There wasn't even a joke in there.
No, there wasn't even a joke
in
there.
And he finally gets to a joke, and then this is his fucking, this is the pebble that's going to be the snowball. This is going to close the show. So we got to that. So if you're just joining us, his cat likes to watch Old Yeller. And now he's going to fucking fill you in, just in case you missed it, because I know it's real fucking subtle. So here's number 27.
That's where my cat and I have a lot in common. We both love watching movies where things we detest die. He loves watching the movie Old Yeller because of what happens to the dog. And I love watching the movie Titanic so I can watch Leonardo DiCaprio drown. Oh, Haverty Grace, it's been a pleasure spending time with you. Thank you guys for coming out.
That's your fucking closer?
Closers. I don't want you, Leonardo DiCaprio, drown.
It doesn't even make any sense. And why? What did Leo do to deserve this? He's super talented. Oh, he's a nice guy. What the fuck?
All right.
Why can't we watch Axl Rose drown? Why does it gotta be Leo?
Is there a movie where Axl Rose drowns?
I fucking wish there was. I would watch it. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but so I'm talking to Doug White, Doug from the Jingles Department, and he gave me Lars Ulrich's dad's phone number. So I call him up.
Oh.
I played him some of this special, and this is what he said, number 28.
I would say, delete that.
Is that from Some Kind of Monster? It's fucking hilarious.
They fucking play his dad the music, and his dad's like, I would delete that.
That's fantastic. So right before he talks about what his cat tells him when he gets home.
Yeah.
He says something, Crozier, and I save this till the end of our Tom Myers bit because what's going to happen here is we're all going to feel bad that we made fun of Tom Myers for the last hour. This is the most pathetic thing I've ever heard somebody utter. And he says it on stage and then puts it on his comedy album and then promotes this comedy album for all of us to hear this.
I enjoy coming out performing for you guys. I really do. But one of the things I really enjoy doing is I enjoy going home, having some time to myself. I enjoy going home to my cat. I love my cat. He's my best buddy. He really is. And
when he said, my cat is my best buddy, he really is. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I got sad. And I went, oh, this guy's a pathetic loser with no friends.
Yeah, could you imagine another human being spending time around this guy on purpose?
You know that joke about his girlfriend looking to see if his penis is going to be 6 inches?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a real person. I don't even think he has a girlfriend. I think he just lives at home with his cat.
Yeah.
I think that's all that's going on there.
And we have reason to believe he doesn't know how people talk to each other, how social media works, how a vagina works, how lovemaking works. Like, he has no clue about any of this stuff. There's some real high-level autism going on here.
Croce, would you ever get up on stage? I know you've been on stage many times with a microphone in front of you.
Oh, boy.
A lot of bad things could happen.
Oh, yeah.
Would you ever get up there and talk about how your cat's your little buddy?
I can't even imagine. I can't even
imagine. What a fucking pathetic loser.
That's wild. Yeah.
Even Sonny John would think this guy's a loser.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Sonny John thinks everyone's a loser. Well, that's right. Hey, when he was on that 2ABC Midday News show, he wanted to explain what's on this comedy album. So now that we know what's on the comedy album, let's hear how he explains it.
So what are people signing up for if they get your newest CD, Make America Innate Again?
They're pretty much getting, like you said, I cover all topics. If you're fans of
if, like, for example, if you're a fan of Donald Trump, I'll say some stuff on here that I'll joke about him. Likewise, I joke about stuff about the Democrats. I talk about, you know, current events, even my life on here. Even my cat's not safe.
Your cat?
No.
Oh my goodness.
That'll teach him to scratch my furniture.
Yeah.
He wasn't prepared for the question of, why should we buy your album? He's like, talking about Trump. There's a Democrat mentioned.
Yeah.
My cat. Like, holy shit, dude. You got to work on your sales pitch. The old elevator pitch, we like to call it.
Yeah.
12 seconds. Fuck. What do you got? Why am I buying this?
Oh.
All right. Crows is at the end of his rope. I know you got a bunch of clips on here. Is there anything else that you want to play? Any of these quote unquote jokes?
Yeah. Nothing from our buddy Tom.
All right. You're good with Tom?
I am.
In that case, I want to tell you a quick story. Something that happened to me for realzos the other day. I wake up in the morning. It's around 5 a.m. 5 a.m. is a weird time to wake up this time of year because the sun's coming out.
Yeah.
And I don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. I want to go back to sleep. So what I do is I like to put on this headband with speakers in it.
Yeah.
They're called sleep phones. I actually, a million years ago, we covered a show called Sleep With Me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, is that what it's called? That sounds ridiculous now that I think about it. It can't be Sleep With Me. Anyway, there's some show that you listen to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And they promoted these sleep phones, and I purchased them. They're Bluetooth, and I can just pop them on and listen to a podcast and doze off. So I go ahead and pop those on, and I'm just listening very quietly to the Dick Show. It was a bonus episode of the Dick Show. All of a sudden, my ears perk up. They're talking about me. And they're talking shit about me. They are lying about me. Here's the clip.
It's like an app. It's like you do Black Friends Day. Black Friends Day. That's the holiday. Bring your black friend in and get a meal. Get a round on us. Right? Yeah. Is it just me? I'm so sick of hearing that I have a black friend, Carl. Oh. You know, Mr. Carl was on here. We did a
cross. I can't believe he said that. It's like the cliche.
I have black friends. Oh, yeah?
Some of my best friends are black.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Denny's is doing a Bring Your Black Friend Day. You bring your black friend in, meal's covered.
Yeah.
Now where are you, hotshot? Now let's see this. Imagine that.
Yeah.
That's real reparations.
So imagine trying to fall back asleep so that you could have your day and then hearing this blasphemy, these lies being told on the Dick Show. So I shot them a very angry email to explain, correction, sirs. I did not say I have a black friend or black friends. And this is specifically what I said. This is from our crossover episode, the previous bonus episode from WATP and the Dick Show.
That's probably a conundrum.
And I'm not even knocking drag queens. I have friends who are drag queens. It's not
sure
something that
do.
I
am
racist.
I'm married to
it's
a drag
just not
queen.
I'm married to a drag queen.
Some
it's
of my
just
best
not
friends
an
are drag
impressive
queens.
Accomplishment in life to become a drag queen. I feel like anyone can do that.
It's kind of a decision.
Yeah.
So, all right, it's just as lame. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this makes up for it. However, my point is that I was trying to soften the blow of being a drag queen. Is that impressive?
Yeah.
That was the point of me setting that up. And then they turned it into Carl saying how he has black friends.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. Extremely disappointing. All right. Croce, with that, I feel like we got to move on to the very important part of our show because you listen to a little thing known as... I listened to this episode, too, because you told me you were going to check it out.
I still can't get over he says, this is the intro, yeah.
That's the intro,
that is
yeah.
So fucking great.
This is the theme to Gary's show, the opening theme to Gary's show. Whoa, I just pulled it out.
Oh!
Everything's breaking!
We got mic stands, we got software crashing, we got...
Oh, I figured out why that was loose. Okay, good. I've got that figured out. It's a bonus show, people.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, so I got a couple things I'm going to play from the 9-Minute Pod, because it, God damn it, Sheamus is a never-ending fountain of gold.
Correct.
And he'll never understand why he's gold. You know what I mean? He's a comedian who has no idea why he's funny. He'll never know.
Correct.
So
if he ever figures it out, we're not going to talk about him anymore.
Of course. No, never, never, never.
So please don't figure it out.
This show is released on July 7th.
Okay.
Why is that important?
Why is that important?
Because he doesn't know when it's going to come out. But it came out July 7th. So here's number 29.
29. All right, here we go.
We have a very fun 9-Minute Podcast for you. I'm excited about this. I don't know when it's going to come out, but I couldn't help but to record it as soon as I decided that this was going to be the thing. So today, first and foremost, we're going to look at the historical calendar. We're going to see what happened today. What happened June 30th? Crazy in history.
So it's a week old Wikipedia front page. So I couldn't wait to record this. I don't know when it's going to come out. Here's today in history, which is now some indeterminate amount of time in the past because it's not. This isn't coming out.
Can I point out the very obvious fact that he didn't structure that sentence correctly?
Oh.
And he waits 8 days to put the show out? I would think he would spend that time editing the podcast. He's not editing anything.
He never learned how to speak English, let alone edit this.
He knows how to swim, though.
So, again,
yeah.
Let's find out some fascinating shit about the date that's now a week in the past. So here's number 30.
It's July 7th. I wonder what happened on June 30th, this date in history.
Can't wait
to
find
June 30th
out.
Is the 181st day of the year, 182nd in leap years.
Okay.
In the Gregorian calendar, 184 days remain until the end of the year. In 2009, Yemenian Flight 626, an Airbus A310-300, crashes into the Indian Ocean near Comoros, killing 152 of 153 people. A 14-year-old girl named Bahia Bakari survives the crash. Wow, that's intense. To be in a plane crash with that many people and be the only one that survives. That's amazing.
So this is the Sheamus we all know and love.
Yeah.
He's reading the right column of Wikipedia, including the number of days that have elapsed, the number of days that are left, the number of days on the lunar calendar. It's fucking insane. And then he just reads a paragraph and then goes, wow, that's pretty crazy.
He's never read this information before either.
No, he
doesn't know how to pronounce the words. He also gives information that we couldn't possibly care about. What happened? Two planes collided?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, do we need to know what specific flight numbers they were?
And
why is that important to the story?
And it was this day in history 8 days ago. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Wikipedia is still a very, very popular, very relevant site. But just because I'm building something here, Wikipedia was released in 2001.
Okay.
So let's just keep that in mind, okay? So, then let's talk about birthdays from 8 days ago. So here's number 31.
Okay, now we're going to take a look at birthdays for June 30th. It looks like Mike Tyson turns 54.
It's like the front page of the, like, you know what I mean? The comic section of the USA Today or something. It's the fluffiest, most worthless fucking information.
Yeah.
And again, this is the front page of Wikipedia. Anyway, this brings him to talk about his birthday. So here's number 32.
I always remember being in school and having a birthday that was during the summer and how shitty I felt when I didn't get recognized by the school because they would call out everybody's birthday at the end of the week for that week. And mine was never one of those.
Now, this is a 30-something-year-old dude with two fucking kids of his own. And that's what he's worried about. That's what's on his mind. He's thinking about his birthdays when he was in school.
He wasn't recognized. His classmates were, but his birthday was in the summertime. That's rough, man.
When you could throw an actual fucking party, when you could actually have some fun on your birthday, that's what his birthday was. What a fucking bummer.
If he had friends.
Yeah, if he had a thing, if he didn't leave in a fucking trailer park. Okay, so we got birthdays on the mind. We're looking at, you know, the same website.
Thank God this isn't behind the paywall, by the way. I just want to point that out because I'm paying $3 a month for pod culture.
Yeah.
If this was the shit that I'm hearing behind the paywall, I'm going to question my investment there.
Yeah. Well, then we get into super fun life hack. So what?
Oh, this is now, so funny.
You're in early 30s. You got a relationship. You got podcasts you take seriously. You got kids of your own. A lot of responsibilities. A lot of plate spinning. A lot going on. What are some super fun life hacks for you as a stay-at-home dad who's raising two children of your own and really wants to build something?
Microwave a Nature Valley bar for 30 seconds to prevent crumbs when you eat it. What? That's just great. That's smart, because those things are crumbly as all hell. Okay, and last one here. Poke a fork through the creamy part of an Oreo so you can dip the whole Oreo in milk without getting your fingers wet. Dude, what? And those are the life hacks, ladies and gentlemen. That's fun.
That's fun, man. Dude, how to dunk your Oreo? You're 32, you're sitting home, you got a microphone going, you're like, boy, I wish I knew how to dunk an Oreo.
I would argue that's not so much a life hack. When I think about the term life hack, it's how do you get ahead? How do you maybe become more efficient or more effective at what you're trying to accomplish? How do you reach your goals?
You say that, Carl, but think about how farther you would be in your life if you didn't get your fingers wet whenever you dunked an Oreo.
I've never dunked an Oreo in my fucking life. Oh, I don't give a fuck about Oreos. That's the stupidest shit. That reminds me of the kind of stuff that like your grandma forwards you in an email in 1997.
Yes.
You have to read through, like, isn't this interesting? Like, no.
You know,
this is not interesting. Don't forward this shit to me.
It's very funny you bring that up, Carl. But let's, we'll hold off on that for just a second. So.
Not the right segue.
34.
This is not rehearsed.
Now we talk about Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, this is great.
Of all things.
Yeah. Let's find out some fun terms that the Urban Dictionary defines for us.
Now, by the way, the Urban Dictionary, they put a random thing on the front page every time you go there, like Wikipedia does. He went to UrbanDictionary.com and just read the first thing that was on the front page. He didn't look up something that was funny. He didn't find something that was interesting. He didn't prepare anything that could have any value to it. He went to the thing and just whatever the random thing was, that's what he fucking read.
Can I tell you that I've never been to the homepage of Urban Dictionary or Wikipedia?
Well, you're about to find out what you're missing,
because
buddy.
Because there's just no reason to do that. I always have shit to do. I'm not looking for something to read.
Urban Dictionary released 1999, by the way. Let's keep that in mind. So here's number 34.
Okay, so today's Urban Dictionary word of the day, technically definition, I just pick a word, and it's just something that people have commonly said, and we see what people on Urban Dictionary have made out to be the definition. And today, we're looking at dead ass. We've heard of this word, dead ass. We've heard people say dead ass a lot, and here's a definition someone wrote. Dead ass is equivalent to saying, for real, I'm serious, or telling the truth. Another one says, a slang for serious to be used in any scenario. Hey, did you hear my boss deadass clap them cheeks at the party last night?
He read two definitions. They were both the same.
Yeah.
They both agreed with each other. Yeah, that's the definition of deadass. Yep.
None of this prepared. He just goes to this. Okay. All right. Then we get to the fucking, the pay dirt, the big deal, the headline attraction.
Yes.
Why did we even do this show?
Yeah, he's building it up. He's like, all right, now we're going to do the thing that you guys all came here for.
Number 35.
But we're going to George Carlin's philosophy class. And this is exciting because he was a man of wisdom, sheer wisdom. So George Carlin's philosophy class.
His fucking music is something else. Anyway.
A lot of production going on. No wonder it took 8 days.
Yeah. And
this episode will be out tomorrow, and I got to fix a lot of shit.
Yeah, no shit. You got to paste together.
I'm not bragging, but I'm just saying.
If you need me to come over tomorrow and redub some of my lines. I might.
Now, hey, Coach, can you just spit into the microphone for 3 minutes? All right, got it. Thank you.
Now. Carlin is a personal hero of mine. I spent a lot of my childhood with his specials in the 90s and, you know, his books, his HBO shit. It's fucking...
He's no Tom Myers, but no, he's decent. He's all right.
This guy's body work is pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah.
So let's read the Carlin quotes that Seamus has brought to us. Wait, that he has had brought to us. I'm trying to speak Seamus.
Yeah.
Here's number 36.
All right, number one. If a parsley farmer is sued, can they garnish his wages?
You think George Carlin was talking about fucking parsley farmers?
That's not a George Carlin.
None of this is George Carlin joke.
There's no way George Carlin wrote that down.
No.
He would be, I've read Brain Droppings. There's no way that was in there.
I've literally consumed everything he's ever put out. No, he's never even approached that level.
All right, I paused it. Let's
keep
going.
Keep it going.
Number two. Why don't sheep shrink when it rains? And number three. One nice thing about egotists, they don't talk about other people.
Listen, Seamus, why don't you just drive to New Jersey and dig up his corpse and fucking rape it, you fucking asshole! What the fuck? So listen, I couldn't trace this, but there were a shit ton of emails in the mid and late 90s that your grandma sent you, as you said,
yeah,
that were all quotes and stories and essays that were attributed to George Carlin. None of it he had anything to do with. In
right.
fact, and he's been dead for 15 years, he had a lengthy fucking letter on his website called Don't Blame Me, and it was about how all this shit had nothing to do with him, and it had nothing in common with his style or any of his shit, and he was royally fucking pissed off about it.
Let's pretend for a second they did come up with all three of those non-jokes. Why would you pick those three out to be like, here's what George Carlin has to say? Why would you pick out somebody that was, even if he wrote that, that's not what I would highlight on my podcast. And this is like the big thing he's building up to. All right, this is the big part of the show. We're going to talk about George Carlin quotes. A parsley farmer. Like, wait, what?
It's garnishes
wages. What?
So, I know Seamus is a, you're an adult now. Like I keep saying, you got kids of your own. That should be a little, it's a transition point in your fucking life, dude. You're still in high school. Dude, all of the shit, Wikipedia, these emails that his uncle sent him, the fucking Urban Dictionary, the Dunkin' Oreos, all of this stuff is the concerns of a 15-year-old kid in, like, 2005 or whenever the fuck he was 15. Like, that's where he is. That's where he's always going to be. Like, he uses Twitter. He knows that the world has moved on. There has been, you know what I mean? Like, there's like a single atom of 2020, one little ray of sunshine that cracks through the blinds in his fucking Metso trailer park every once in a while. But he's still in 2005 and he always will be. And just look at the fucking guy with his giant ears and his fucking shitty ass tattoos. Like, this is a man living in the past. And look, I go to watch silent movies. I talk about Jimi Hendrix like he's not been dead for 50 years. I fucking get it, dude. But this is fucking unbelievable how irrelevant and fucking ridiculous is. But other than that, I have no feelings in the matter.
I tried to get it worded like 15 times there.
Sorry.
Grosh, I'm just going to challenge you real quick. And you sound convincing. You sound like you know what you're talking about. But I'm just going to challenge you. You said he hasn't grown up since he's 15 years old. How do you know he wasn't acting like he was 4 when he was 15? It's very possible that he is maturing.
Yeah.
He's probably way ahead of where he was when he was 20.
Yeah. He crawled out of diapers in his teenage years. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a perfect segue into the Seamus clips that I brought.
Oh, sweet.
Because he just put out a brand new episode of Dead Town. I believe it dropped yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah. And Dead Town is... And
that's your favorite show.
My favorite show that
Fantastic.
He puts on.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite of my favorite show. This episode is by far my favorite.
Oh, nice.
Let's intro this the right way.
Don't tell me you don't like my show. Don't tell me you don't like my show. Don't tell me. Don't tell me you don't like my show. Don't tell me you don't like my show. Don't tell me. Because that's absurd.
Because that's absurd. Don't like my show. So Seamus starts off this podcast, and he's in an ornery mood.
Oh, boy.
Somebody had just trolled him, and he's not happy about it. So he starts off his show, and he's already bashing the haters right off the bat, which is my favorite thing that he does.
Yeah.
But I do realize that I got a lot of people that listen to this show that like to say that, you know, it puts them to sleep. Whether for the good or the bad, I accept that. I like that. I like the idea that I can talk for an hour about ghost stories and you will be nodding off. That's a sign of quality entertainment, folks. Okay?
What?
Maybe not so much. Maybe not so much, right?
It's that thing that he does.
Yeah.
Where he tries to explain something, then he realizes it's nonsensical and stupid. Yeah. And he goes, well, okay, well, okay, what I just said was stupid. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Oh, it's amazing.
You were actually just goofing on me, and that's not funny, and that's not cool. Stop goofing on me. Yeah. He goes, all right. So then he goes on to explain that maybe you don't like his show, but that doesn't matter because he does.
But I will say I enjoy this podcast, so it doesn't really matter how you feel about it at all, because I enjoy it. So who are you? You know, who are you? What guy are you?
Wow.
What guy are you?
What you guy are you?
You know, like Dead Town? Like what kind of guy are you? How is that possible? That's absurd.
And what does that mean? I like my show.
That's all that matters.
He doesn't listen to these. You can tell by, yeah, you know.
That's a good point. Well, this is the paradox that is our friend Patrick Michael.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care if you like his show. He does it for himself, and it's behind a paywall, and you have to pay for it to get it. Like,
yeah.
Wait, what? It doesn't make any sense. It's a computational error there somewhere. All right. So then he explains, he doesn't understand why people listen to a show when they don't like it, which I'd be happy to explain to him at some point, but this is him explaining that you don't have to listen to his show.
Like I said, if you don't find it interesting, if you don't like it, if it's putting you to sleep, there are podcasts on NPR. You can go listen to the Legion of Skanks, okay? You can listen to Joe Rogan talk to a doctor, all right? You don't have to be here.
We know, and yet we're here anyway. Do you understand what's going on here, Seamus? That's how bad you are.
Yeah.
We can't get enough of it. He goes, guys, I don't understand why you're listening to my show and you don't even like it. Did you know that Joe Rogan exists? Yes, we do.
Yeah.
You guys know about Legion of Skanks? Uh-huh. Yep, sure do. Know all about it.
Oh, that's amazing. Guys, other podcasts exist.
Could you imagine being a podcaster and saying, why are you listening to my show? All podcasters want are people to listen to their show. There's 800,000 podcasts and there's 400,000 listeners. And they're like, please, just listen to my show. And this guy's going, stop listening to my show.
Yeah.
Another podcast. The other podcasts are better than my show.
Why are you even here? What are you doing?
Another podcaster would say that. He's the only one in the world. Well, then he gets... He gets a little bit mean. It's not him getting mean. He's explaining how mean the people are who don't like his show.
Leaving a comment on somebody's creation and telling them how they should kill themselves is just a bit much, you know? It's like, what are we, in high school? Grow up, dude.
I didn't tell a lot of people in high school they should kill themselves. That's a high school thing?
Yeah.
I didn't start doing that until I was 24. Man, he told me to kill myself. So then he explains, because I'm like, Jesus, this is a weird way to start a Dead Town episode.
Yeah, seriously.
This is a 9-minute podcast. This isn't the Harry show. Like, this is weird that he would start off Dead Town, which is supposed to be about paranormal activity.
Yeah.
And he starts it off with like, hey, what the fuck are you? You fucking asshole. Go fuck yourself. Like, wait, whoa.
What could guy you imagine, are you?
Could you imagine if you just stumbled upon this podcast? I'm sure this has happened. Somebody's like, I like paranormal shows. What else is out there?
Yeah.
They're just searching or they're on Anchor FM because it's the greatest app ever. Brand new Peapod came out today. And they're just on there checking it out and they see Dead Town and they see cults and mystics and spirits. I don't know what the fuck the tagline is. I forget.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I got to check this thing out. And it starts out with this angry guy going, don't listen to my show, you fucking cunt. Like, wait, what? Who gave Jim Jeffries a podcast and why does he talk like an Indianan? All right. So he's in a mood.
But I'm obviously in a particular mood today, not a happy guy today, and that's fine. We all have those days. And it happens for me because it's fucking hot, man. It's hot. It's way too hot for me to just let it happen.
It's too hot for him to let this shit go. Usually somebody goes on there and goes, hey, by the way, your podcast told me to sleep last night. And he goes, whatever, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But today, it's too hot.
Yeah.
He's going to address it. He's angry about it. And I think that his anger is a little bit misdirected because The person he's really angry at is his HVAC guy. This is a little bit of a longer clip.
Yeah.
But he's going to explain that he was supposed to get his AC fixed, and it didn't happen. And he's none too happy about it.
The fact that it's hot could have been fixed, could have been avoided. But the issue starts with other people and keeping their word, all right? And I'm a man of my word most of the time. I don't feel like I've ever let my word fail me or give somebody my word and not show up.
He's never let his word fail him. He doesn't even know what he's saying. He just,
yeah. All right. Hey, look, I have a spotless reputation 86% of the time.
I almost never go back on my word.
Yeah.
That's my word.
My friends love and respect me most of the time.
Roger, Roger.
But when I have to deal with men, grown men who run a business, and they can't hold up to their word, well, we got a problem. We got a problem. How'd you make it this far in society with that kind of attitude, my guy? Don't call me and say you're on the way, only to not show up and not call me back to let me know why. That's annoying. That's a lack of effort on your part. And you're supposed to be a professional. Well, much like me as a professional podcaster, I'm here. I'm here doing the episode. As unfortunate as it is, I'm here. Okay?
I knew you'd get excited when he called himself a professional podcaster. Oh. That was so exciting for me. I was like, no, he did not just say that. He's like, I show up for my podcast. Why can't you show up and fix my HVAC system?
Yeah.
I'm like, well...
Well, Carl, you laugh, but he's got almost double-digit listeners.
His pod culture, I believe, is up to 10 subscribers.
Dude, that's almost triple-digit.
That's one away. It's one away from triple-digit.
One digit away.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
if it was Roman numerals, it'd only be one digit. But, yeah. You know.
So what happened? So did the HVAC guy pull into the trailer park and take a look around, get the lay of the land, and you turn right the fuck out of there? Is that what we're talking about? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, prepayment is required for this neighborhood.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
there's some places you go, and you're like, they're not going to pay me, and you turn the fuck around.
We've gotten screwed a couple too many times in this neighborhood.
That's what it sounded like to me. I'm just saying.
As far as I know, and I don't know anything, because I'm not one of these guys. Don't laugh at that. That wasn't the joke. As far as I know. And I'm not one of these guys who's really interested in his family life and his living situation, but I believe he's no longer in the trailer park and he's in an apartment complex. He talks about this.
Like, wow.
He has to go downstairs for the FedEx guy and buzz him in. And, you know, he talks about how he's on a second or third floor of an apartment complex. Why is he calling the AC guy? It doesn't even make sense. I'm getting too involved in this story.
Wow. All
right. So he's hot. He's in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And he's lashing out at all the people who just want to love him. Just embrace it. They just want to love you. He explains that he doesn't want to talk to anybody who wants to talk to him.
It doesn't matter. It really, really doesn't matter because this is for me. If you like what I'm talking about, then you'll fucking subscribe. If you don't, you can move on. It's that easy. We don't have to talk.
Easy, buddy.
He's angry.
Listen, if you like this podcast, you fucking subscribe to that shit like a good little motherfucking bitch. Subscribe to that shit right now. Call me fucking daddy. Right the fuck now, goddammit.
Holy shit. He's completely exhausted with people asking him to come on their show, to do an interview. Hey, can we podcast together? I know there's people in my Discord right now who are listening who are guilty of this.
You
reaching
bastards.
Out to him directly to say, hey, I'm a friend. I'm not goofing on you. I'm not like all the other people. And he's had enough of this shit. Listen to the tone of his voice, Crouch. This is a rare Patrick Michael moment. A PMM. This is a rare PMM right here.
And also, for the love of God, stop asking me to be on your show. I don't want to do an interview. I don't want to do a phone interview. I don't want to email with you.
This show made me so happy. I was texting with Doug from Good Times, Great Movies today because we were both listening to this and just like,
yeah,
as we were listening to it, like, did he just say that? Holy shit, did he just say this? Did he just say that? Like, this is amazing. This is a Dead Town episode.
And
we're 8 minutes in at this point.
Yeah. And not to be Captain fucking obvious here, but the whole business model of podcasting on Patreon and all these other places, you get yourself out there, yeah. You attract subscribers, they come and they join your thing, they pay you. And he's like, fuck that shit. I don't want fucking exposure. I don't want people to find out that they can come and donate money to me. What the fuck is
this
going
guy
on
has
here?
It all wrong. Last week on WATP, I said, hey, Chrissy Mayer was on the kill stream with Ethan Ralph. I'd like to be on the kill stream. I got a note yesterday. I'm going to get booked to be on the kill stream.
Boom.
That's how you do it.
There you go.
You want to get on other people's shows to expose yourself to a larger audience. This you guy know, goes, I'm getting asked to be on other people's shows all the time. Fuck off.
Yeah, seriously. They called me to be on that show too, the kill stream, and I told them, fuck you, motherfuckers. How fucking dare you email me?
How dare you?
And tell me that you want to talk to me? That's fucking bullshit.
So Patrick Michael has very specific instructions for me personally. Now remember, I'm not the one reaching out to him directly.
Yeah.
And he doesn't listen to this show, so he doesn't know what we're talking
and
about.
And he never will.
But he has some instructions for me personally.
And now that I, you know, we're almost 6 minutes into the episode, if you've came this far and you're not a fan in general, you just come to listen so that way you can tell your buddies, go away now. All right? Go away now. Go play in traffic. Go lick door handles. Go do something productive.
If you just came here to goof on me, go play in traffic. And I'm like, well, there isn't a lot of traffic right now, but
yeah,
you could probably get a pickup game now, going.
But seriously, though, what kind of loser would sit and talk to their buddies about listening to Patrick Michael? Oh, wait, never
Can you
mind.
Imagine? So we said 6 minutes, but remember, there's 2 minutes of ad reads.
Yeah.
So we're like at the 8 minute mark at this point. He still hasn't talked about a single ghost or ghoulie.
Oh.
And then this is the last thing that he says. He gives a little bit of advice on what you could be doing rather than listening to a show when you don't like it. And he makes a reference here that, bless his heart, this makes me so happy.
Start a podcast and talk about me. Make that your main thing. All right? It's perfect. You get to mention how I've never been to Gary or any of the other bullshit jokes you try to make.
Yes! Yes! He finally said it!
Dude, if I didn't know any better, that sounded like permission. That sounded like full-on permission.
He asked us to start a podcast making fun of him.
I mean, we're following
spin-off, bitches! Yeah. WATP spin-off! We're going to do the 9-minute wrap-up show, which is, by the way, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We talk about the 9-minute podcast for 90 minutes. It's a factor of 10 on top of what he says.
That's amazing.
And you know what? I started listening to the rest of this episode, and it didn't even matter after that. And I love that down. I love he can't pronounce anything. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I love it. But after that tirade at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
From Ted Kaczynski. It's a callback. All right. Well, we had a lot of equipment problems today, but we got through it. I feel like we made it happen. Croge, anything you want to plug, my friend?
I got a cringe of the week for you.
Oh,
if you want to hear it.
Fuck me, I lost that board. Okay, give me a second. Dude, I'm so annoyed because the board that I lost off my soundboard is where I have everything I need all the time.
Yeah.
That's the one that died on me.
Oh.
So I don't have my outro music. All right, let me just fucking... Why am I bitching about it? I can just pull it off.
Yeah, let's talk more action, Carl.
Yeah, right. Seriously. We have... Oh, you know what else I didn't talk about? All right, this is funny. I'll just bring this up real quick. All right, I got your shit here. Good. Vinny just called me because... You heard me talk about Tammy Pescatelli.
I did.
Motherfucking comedy at the Carl. I'll talk about this more on Saturday.
Yeah,
I'm
that
sure.
was great.
So Tammy Pescatelli goes on Opie Radio and she goes, if I was ever going to kill myself, it would have been after the show I did at Comedy at the Carlson.
Holy fuck.
She goes, it was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I went on WTP and then I did the creep off last weekend. And because Vinny works there and our buddy Mark at Bolito runs the place,
I commented, I'm like, oh, I'm going to send this to Mark Ippolito. He's going to be so pissed. She's burning so many bridges. Now, I was joking. I don't, it seems like I'm a shitster.
Yeah.
I'm a shitster on the internet. Like in real life, I don't actually like want to fuck with people. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I never sent it to Mark Ippolito, but somebody sent her that audio. So she freaked out, called Mark Ippolito, tried to get Vinny's number, got Vinny's number from another connection she had, called Vinny, apologizing up and down about, I was just on a show and I was just trying to have fun with it and blah, 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 blah. And so,
oh god,
Vinny gets called into Mark's office.
Oh shit!
So I'm getting messages from Vinny last night. He's like, "Oh, Mark's fucking pissed." I'm like, "Oh, really?" So I feel like I got Vinny in trouble, which is kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm like, "Oh no!" So Vinny just called me, and he went into Mark's office to talk about this. And Mark's like, "All right, can you play me what you guys said?" Vinny's thinking, like, you guys can't talk about the comedians that come in here. I'm running a business. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We're kind of fucking with his business at this point. He's running a comedy club, and we're out there bashing the comedians. So Vinny plays the segment for him, and Mark laughed through the whole thing. He's like, oh, this is fucking hilarious. All right, it's fine. So Vinny called me to tell me that he didn't actually get in trouble.
Oh, there you go.
Which is good news.
Oh, that's funny.
That is a fun story. All right.
God damn.
I got your cringe of the week. Now I got to find my cringe of the week. Oh, no. You know what? That might be on this board. Hold on.
Get it together.
Yep.
Carl.
All right. Here we go.
Cringe of the week. Cringe of the week.
All right, Crows. Any setup for this?
All right. This is a podcast called Brought to You By, and it's from Business Insider. So this is it's about marketing and advertisement. If you're interested in propaganda, which I am, it's an interesting look at things. This is episode 50.
Hold on a second. Did you just say marketing is propaganda?
I certainly fucking did.
Okay, just checking.
The fuck? What are we talking about here? I mean, all right. So this is episode 50. Let's talk about Tampax.
Okay.
So a dude, and I say that, a dude invents tampons in the 30s, but he's got to advertise it, and you can't, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't. We're not even at Leave It to Beaver time yet. You know what I mean? So you can't talk about body parts.
So their tagline wasn't shove this up your cunt when you're bleeding?
Apparently you couldn't say that in the 30s in print, I guess.
Just checking. Yep.
I mean, you can say that in the street, but in print.
You're
okay.
Right.
So you press play in this episode. This is the very first thing that you hear.
One quick note before we get going. In this episode, we talk about tampons and menstruation, and we use the word women a lot to describe people who have periods and who companies like Tampax have targeted with their marketing. But it's important to note that it isn't just women who menstruate. Some people, like some transgender men and non-binary folks, do. And then some women don't get periods at all. If you want to learn more about this, we've included a link in our episode notes. Okay, now let's start the show.
Now, look, I know this is a whole world of shit. I know you can lose your ability to write books about child wizards if you talk about this kind of shit.
Yes, this is true.
Their episode on tampons includes an apology for using the offensive term women.
This episode could be hard to listen to.
Yeah. Dude, I want to apologize for using the word women.
When we say that women menstruate, we know that's highly offensive.
Yeah.
And we would never say that out loud. We're just talking about these terrible marketers who market to women who menstruate.
And it's almost like they generalize people into groups in order to target them with the marketing material. Almost.
Fucking thing sucks.
I mean, dude, I know it's a brave new world. I know I'm a step behind. And much like you, Carl, I have friends that are drag queens. I'm married to a transsexual. I'm a genderqueer African-American futures female myself.
No one told me there was going to be boasting.
Jesus fucking Christ, Crouch.
That's wild, huh?
I don't know how to react to that.
That's fucking wild. But I just want to apologize. When I introduced you to my girlfriend, I meant to say person with vagina friend. I didn't mean to use the offensive term girlfriend. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm learning. I'm growing, Carl.
Wow. We've learned a lot today.
Yeah.
We have learned a lot. One thing that we learned is I have no way to get out of the show because I've lost my soundboard. This would have been a perfect time to fart in the mosh pits of morning radio.
Yeah.
But instead, I guess I'll have to say this.
This is Larry Blydner, and you are listening to Who Are These Podcasts?
We called that the stinger. They don't let you use that no more.
Oh, God damn. Yeah, I don't know if we covered this. I couldn't fucking believe how bad that stand-up was.
You don't know if we covered that?
I was like, God damn, dude. This fucking guy doesn't shit.